Look, we all got different needs, wants, and goals in life. As doctors, locum tenens definitely needs to be a part of that conversation. But you might wonder, how do I find out if locums is good for me? Here's my answer. Go to an unbiased, informative source like locumstory.com. You'll learn all the ins and outs of locums, details on travel and housing, how to find different jobs, tax information, and more. Get a comprehensive view of locums and decide if it's right for you at locumstory.com. Link is in the show notes. What's good, everyone? It's Dr. Nee. Listen, before we get into this episode, I'm actually editing and listening to this, and I realized that I need to do a quick intro for this episode. This is going to be a really good one. And I just got to say that there's a lot of videos on social media where you see a lot of residents, or excuse me, a lot of medical students, really excited or surprised at where they're going to be going for their residency. It's a lot of hard work that gets put into there. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And sometimes there's some disappointment, but we oftentimes, we see a lot of the videos of the really happy moments. But I'm really interested now in seeing the videos of those who are disappointed. Those who got a letter saying that, unfortunately, you didn't match. Or maybe even those who have been not matching for a minute. And the reason I say that is, if you get so many videos of people really happy when they match, and you don't have the other side, when you don't match, when you struggle, where do you go to, right? It's great to go to these videos to get inspiration of where you are going to end up during your first try or maybe even your second try. But we need more stories. I'd like to see more stories of what happens in between. The people who are struggling and maybe going from residency to residency, prelim position to another prelim position, rotating internship to another rotating internship. What are you doing? What kind of steps are you taking? How does that road work? And what can I get from that, particularly if I'm in that situation where I'm at? So, you know, now that I'm, I guess technically I'm an OG now, I think the biggest advantage that I have is time. I've gotten an opportunity to pursue something. I got an opportunity to attain that goal. And now that I'm giving advice to medical students or even pre-meds, I tell them, I'm really honest, I tell them that the pursuit of something is just as good, if not as important, as the actual acquiring of that goal, right? I'm gonna say it again, pursuing something, going after something, you can learn just as much, you can gain just as many tools, you can be just as successful pursuing something as attaining that, okay? And this episode really talks about that, right? We have Dr. Travelle Franklin Ford Ellis. Yes, that's her real name, her long name. And we got a chance to catch up with her at the Student National Medical Association. And me and Dr. Travelle have known each other for a long time. As a matter of fact, we served on the SNMA together. And what you're going to hear in this episode is not of, you know, always the good times and just success all the time. But what happens when you go to a high-powered medical school? Everybody expects the best from you. You want to be a surgeon, and it just don't work out. What you going to do? Especially if you're an MD, PhD candidate, right? Like, those are high-powered. It's a really interesting place to be at. It's a place that not many people get a chance to hear. Like, what happens when you get this MD, PhD, but you can't get into residency? What do you do next? And I think that this story is something that we really need to hear. It's a story that I think you all need to hear. If you're a pre-med, if you're a med student, if you're a resident, you're struggling, or even if you're attending and you've gone through some difficult times, I think you could definitely relate to this story. So I hope you guys enjoy this short interview. It's a little noisy in the background, but you know, the message is still the same. Reach out to me. Let me know what you think about this episode. Catch you guys on the next one, y'all. Peace.
Step in.
Dr. Travelle, me and, for y'all that don't know, me and Dr. Travelle go way back.
When I was
regional director for Region 2, Dr. Travelle was assistant regional director, and then you became national president.
Yes, a couple years later, yeah.
Okay, all right. So tell us what you do. Tell us everything that comes after your name. What are you up to right now?
So Whitney and I were colleagues. I was MD-PhD candidate at Wisconsin. I now lead health equity at Exact Sciences. Okay. Which is a company seeking to eradicate cancer, so med tech devices, so not pharma, not implantable devices, but that lab space.
Okay.
And thinking about, you might have seen our commercial, the Cologuard, the talking box.
Oh, that's you?
That's what we do.
Okay. All right.
That's
okay.
One of our products. Okay. And my job is to ensure that Cologuard is accessible, available, and inclusive of all populations.
Mm,
so
okay.
Driving strategy, thinking about implementation. I'm now focused on the East Coast and working with health system partners and key community organizations to drive change.
One thing that I'm not hearing is like seeing patients on a day-to-day basis, clinical medicine, any of that stuff. Talk to us about, so right now you're not practicing on patients.
I've never practiced on a patient.
Talk to us about that, because a lot of people don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
So you went through 7 years of medical school, right?
I went through 10 years of medical school.
10 years of medical school. So you graduated with your MD as well as a PhD.
I did.
Right? Tell us the decision as to, like, give us the reason why you went, the direction that you went.
So my story is one of pivot. Finished my MD PhD and was not successful after two rounds trying to match into a competitive surgery residency.
Okay.
And so to that end, I needed a job, full transparency. I had 1.5 kids and a husband and needed to have some stability in my life.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what these are for, because people don't know about this.
For sure. Right? Yeah, yeah. Right.
Everybody just sees the end product and it's like, well, you know, how did you end up there? And it's like, well, there's all these different things. Like, I tell people, I applied to medical school twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those in-between years were, like, the most difficult, darkest.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
My parents
are
like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. So
it was dark. I mean, it was very much, you spent 10 years, 10-plus years, in a place to become a doctor.
But no loans, though, y'all.
No loans.
It gives you a lot of room, though. You know what I'm saying?
It does. And so I could take some risks. So when I was in that place of, what am I going to do? I need to get a job. Like, I'm a doctor that's not going to practice. Or am I going to practice? Like, I could take
from
a couple
big
more.
Time college or medical school, too. Medical college. Wait, University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So big time. Okay.
So the question was, am I going to take a year here, take a year there, move around? Am I going to do more research? I already had a PhD in biomedical engineering. It wasn't really high on my list. Mm-hmm. Do I want an MHA? Because I knew I wasn't going to...
Go back to more school.
Right. Do I go back to more school? I've already spent 10 and a half years. And so after some prayer, reflection, and just picking myself up, I reached out to one of my professors and I was like, look, I took my maternity leave. So at that point, my second child was born. I took my maternity leave, got some clarity, and I was like, you know, I just need enough money to put this baby in daycare. And I want to get a fellowship. Like, I need to get some exposure to healthcare administration. And so...
See, I like this.
Didn't know
like
what
this.
I was doing, but
I just...
It was enough space to not be in my condo with my husband.
Right.
Right? And really think about what's opportune. My network came through for me. So a guy that I did grad school with was working for orthopedics company in middle of nowhere, Indiana, and said, hey, we're starting this new role. Mm-hmm. It's about doctors talking to doctors. It's a safe harbor. It's called a medical science liaison, something I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. And I got to use my MD and my PhD to talk to doctors about stem cells, something I knew a lot about. Mm-hmm. And so my first real job as a doctor was as an MSL in the orthopedic industry. Mm-hmm. And from that, leveraging skills, presenting complicated science, I then leveraged relationships and got into a role with Health Equity before it was Health Equity, and ended up switching companies to Exact Sciences 3 years ago, and now I direct the strategy of what we are going to do as a company to serve more people.
Okay.
So the work we did 20 years ago in SNMA and communities, right, was the training ground, pivot.
So for the folks, see, that's the key. The folks who are watching right now, listening right now, because there are people who are non-traditional pre-med students like me, the people who have to take a pause in between medical school and residency, and then there's even some people even after residency that still have to take a pause. Looking back, do you think that there's any like red flags or any mistakes that you saw that you're like, I probably should have did X, Y, and Z, or is it just the luck of the draw and like, look, the ability for you to pivot is something that is like resiliency, basically.
Yeah.
Right? I think a lot of people, they don't catch that. They say, well, if I did this better, if I got this MCAT score, it's like, well, if hindsight was 20/20, obviously you'd be able to fix it. But that ability to be like, look, I'm a doctor.
For sure.
I can figure this out. You know?
I don't know that I would be where I am right now had I not gone through the process.
Okay.
I think mid-process to your question about like where might I have pulled back or switched, you know, maybe I would have said, I've done this enough, right?
Right.
Like, maybe I would have pulled back on some of the extracurriculars. Like, do I need to be at yet another health fair? Do I need to be yet another program?
Gotcha.
Is that enough? I think I was also ahead of my time. When I was writing my essays for residency, I was trying to sell this idea of data-driven community engagement. And that wasn't valued at that time.
Got you. But now like 10 years too early.
Now that healthcare, everybody's woken up to healthcare is too expensive, or social determinants, health-related social needs, right? Now I get paid to do something I really love. Did I love surgery? Absolutely. Would I have loved surgery as a mom and a wife? Maybe. I don't know.
That's the thing that a lot of people don't think about is like, because a lot of times it asks is you're going to have to sacrifice something. And the question is do you want to sacrifice your family life or with the kids, you know, for your personal pursuit? That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough, you know. So we talk about on our show with Dr. Renee and even me, like, we've kind of pared down a little bit just to make sure that there's a parent with the kids all the time.
For sure.
And it's tough. There's monetary sacrifices. There's some career sacrifices. But in the long term, we feel like, you know, the kids better be appreciative of it.
You show up for your kids, right?
Right.
Just like you invest in yourself, you invest in them. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so true.
Okay, so what's the one piece of advice you would give to, let's say pre-med that's here, what kind of advice would you give to them? Just one piece of advice that you would give to them walking around trying to figure things out.
I would say follow your instinct, like follow your gut, that little spidey sense. So when I got into health equity or, you know, minority initiatives, I was nervous because this was pre-George Floyd.
Right.
And even though I saw CDO roles, et cetera, I was like, I don't want to do DEI. Mm-hmm. I want to do outcomes. And so you got to keep massaging your story to the point of, you know, say it enough, figure out what you really want to do.
Okay.
So that when your window comes, you jump in.
Mm-hmm. I love
right?
It.
And it,
I love
as a pre-med or as a med student working with you in the region, like, I didn't know what that was going to look like then. Right? We just had an idea of, students in med school in the Midwest are disconnected and need community, and our patients need us, right?
So we did, me and Renee just did a session on global medicine or global health. And I was telling them at the end, I was like, listen, if you had asked me in medical school if I was going to be traveling to Ghana to do medical work, I said eventually I would have gotten to it.
Right, exactly.
I would not have known that I would have gotten it right after I finished fellowship. And I would not have been able, I would not be at this point right now where I'm like considering like moving there.
Uh-huh.
Right? I just never thought I'd be at that point. It's
right.
Just that it just ebbs and flows. Medicine goes, you know, to the beat of your drum, so to speak. And I think a lot of times, you know, people get so caught up on following what the other person is doing or
absolutely.
Following what their attendings are doing or what the professors are doing. And they kind of lose track that, like, this is really your car. This is really, you know, you drive this ship.
And
it
I
looks
think
differently.
We're not always open to taking risks.
Right. What? Sis, come on, yo. She don't. She is he. Yeah, she is. Wait, what is it? Travelle is she.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about. Let me get my pronouns correct. But it's true. It's about risks.
Yeah.
And we're not used to taking risks in medicine.
Not at all.
No.
Especially individuals of color where you're like,
right.
I can't afford to mess up.
Right.
I can't afford, like, I'm going to do exactly what they tell me. And I got to a place where I did exactly what they told me. I did a little bit more. I was the poster child for this, recruited, mentored, all the things. And when it came down to it, nobody showed up for me.
That's true.
Nobody, right? And so it was like, Travelle, what you going to do?
Right. I agree with you 100%. I love it. All right, y'all.